you want to go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as you're doing that, I'm going to kind of start by letting you guys know, as I look at the graduates up here tonight, I'm reminded of this one young boy, about 18 years old, I think he was, when he was heading off to college his very own. And you know, as he headed off to college, one thing you don't want to forget is to pack your stuff. You got to pack everything to go with you. You got a nice, depending on where you're going, I know that when I went to college, I had a dorm room that I started off in, and an apartment at one point, and at one point a house, and a lot of different things. But when you first go, got to make sure you pack your stuff. Got to have everything packed. So I remember this one boy that he packed up everything that he had. Matter of fact, they took a motor home to take all of his stuff up, took up a pickup truck, loaded in the back, took his family with him, and went on the road and traveled some 800 miles to college. Got there, had everything in the world that he needed. Had his refrigerator, had his microwave, had his computer, we didn't have any books yet. Starting off as a freshman, you guys will learn that. You got to buy those. They don't give them to you anymore. But then also, he had all his clothes, had everything that he needed. Lo and behold, about a day and a half later or so, he packed everything right back up, turned around, and went straight back home, 800 miles. My family's over here. They're all grinning and nodding their head because they know I'm talking of myself. Had everything packed I thought I needed for college, went up, turned around, and came right back. You say, well, what does that have to do? Well, the more I have grown in the Word, the more I've gotten into the Word of God and allowed Christ to affect my life, I was saved at that time. But there was things that I wasn't taught. There was things that I didn't know from the Bible. And so when I went up there, I had everything in the world that I needed. But the one thing I didn't have was my focus on Jesus Christ. And so when I got up there, I turned around and hightailed it back, not knowing what I wanted. And from that point on, I went to another 1, 2, 3 colleges before I graduated. And so if you counted that one, which I never enrolled in a class, it was 4 colleges. But I did get my degree eventually. So, but all that's to say this. And matter of fact, if you were in, I don't know if you said it in the 9:30 service this morning, Pastor Dan, but at 11 o'clock you had mentioned about spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on your education as a parent, spending it on your teenager most of the time. And then they come out and they say, you know what, that's not really what I want to do. Well, praise my parents because they paid for me for 4 years of college and I'm not doing anything with really what I went to college for. So, but that was because I truly believe that I was not following after Christ at that point in my life. I was following after a lot of the influences of the world. That's kind of what I want to challenge you with this morning, or tonight. And whichever the case, something's morning somewhere, right? So, you know, for many years, I was in search of the life I thought I wanted. And the world was really what told me what my life should be about. It should be about popularity. It should be about fame. It should be about a lot of money, having comforts. And so that's what I sought after. As a matter of fact, when I went into college, I went in thinking that I was going to become a football coach and a football player. Okay, scrub that. That didn't happen. So then I said, okay, Lord. Actually, at that point, I wasn't seeking the Lord. I said, okay, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. What am I going to do now? I said, well, maybe I'll be an accountant. I didn't even go through the whole semester. I took 2 courses in accounting, just 2 days worth, and said, nope, not doing that. Brother Dale Means, I don't know how you do it if you're in here. So then I said, well, what is going to bring me a lot of money? And at that point, computers were the next biggest thing that were going on. Internet was really raging. I said, man, everybody's going to need a computer guy. I never did anything with computers before in my life, and people don't believe me when I say that. But so about my junior year of college, I said, I'll focus on computers, and I got a computer degree. And, you know, again, I didn't feel anything. I graduated. I had a great job. I was getting paid a lot of money, but there was still a void, and there was an emptiness. And I praise the Lord that I found this church early enough that Colleen and I got married here. We kept coming. God began to fill that void in my life. And so, teenagers, as you go off, I want to challenge you with this because, you know, as I said, that I packed and I took a lot of things, but I missed some key things that God had provided for me. I was saved at that point, you know, and I know the 8 of you. And the 8 of you, I know that you've given testimony that you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, so you know Him personally. And so He's given you the same things He gave me at that time. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. And then here's our verse for tonight. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You know, as I was studying and looking at that, I noticed not only does the Apostle Paul said, look, Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Graduates, as you go off to college, there's going to be some fear in things. You know, one of the reasons I came back home was fear. I grew up in a wonderful home with wonderful parents. I got off by myself, and within hours, I said, this is not what I want to do. This is scary. Send me home. Unfortunately, they let me take my truck up with me. I was able to do that. Packed up and went home. But that's not the only kind of fear. But, you know, we do have fears in life. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And what I have entitled this message tonight is three things that God has already equipped every Christian with, and you need to always have packed so you don't get taken by a spirit of fear. See, there's three things that God has given every Christian. So this applies to all of us in here tonight that are Christians. But it says there, the Apostle Paul, look at it again with me in verse 7, he says, he didn't give us that spirit of fear, he says, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. All three of those are found in Christ Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get those. So you, right now, that are getting ready to go off to college, and everyone else in here, we've been giving these three things already. But you know what? Just as if you go off to college and you were like me and you packed everything that you needed, but say, you know, your mom, you got a great mother like I do who's sitting in here tonight, and pretty much most of my life is taking care of everything for me. When we go on vacation, I go anywhere, she packs my bag for me. Praise the Lord, I've got a wife that does the same thing now. But they'll pack everything for me. But you know what? If I, you know, I just went on a trip to California, and Miss Colleen was so gracious enough to pack my bag for me. You know, if I flew out to the California and she had packed that bag for me, I got on that plane with a pair of pants and a shirt, and I never once opened that suitcase, how ignorant of that would that be of me? Here she's taken the time and packed everything that I need for a trip. I was out there for about 4 or 5 days. But yet I stayed in one outfit the whole time and never changed. Most of you would think I'd be disgusting. But so the point is that here I've been given everything that I need. Well, then why wouldn't I just use it? And so, but it's by choice. If I went out there and stayed in the clothes that I was in, it was by my choice that I wasn't going to open the suitcase and take what was in there. I'm going to keep on what I have on, and that's my choice. Just the same way as when you are saved and we're given the power, we're given the spirit of love, we're given the sound mind, it's still up to us to use it. It's there, but we've got to use it. So I want to talk to you about these three things, and the first one being God's power. We have to know God's power. Know God's power. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, flip over there with me if you would for real quick. We see the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. There you go, a couple of you already saying amen. Pastor Larry and Pastor Dan and Pastor Rich learned that on our youth retreat. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Absolutely. And the power of His might. Teenagers, as you go off to college, you're going to be faced with the same challenges I remember being faced with, because I went off to a secular college, four of them. Well, one was supposed to be a Bible college, but that's not why I was there. And so I was there to play football, and I missed everything. But anyhow, you go off to a college. Most of you go into secular college. The world is going to try to tell you where you can find power and where you can find might. And the one thing that they're not going to tell you is that you're going to find it all in Christ. They're going to tell you everywhere else you need to look. You want power? Then you need to get this kind of degree. You need to spend 4, 5, 6, 7 years in college. And once you have that degree, you'll be able to have the power you need to go over and make whatever kind of money and buy whatever kind of car and the other kind of size house you want. And that's power. I tell you right now, that's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. The Bible tells us right there in verse 10, in the power of His might. There is nothing stronger than God. And with God in your life, you're going to have all the power and all the might that you'll ever need. And so we have to know His power and be strong in that. You know, nothing can be found in a weight room or in a book or in a person. It's only found in Christ. So as you guys get ready and go off to college, and maybe you're staying here, and maybe you're not graduating tonight, but my question to you is now, where are you searching for your source of power? Are you searching for your source of power in Christ? Because I'll tell you this, if you are, you've already found it because it's Him. Amen. There's nothing else to search for. And so what I challenge you tonight, teenagers, those of you graduating, some of you have shared with me, I think this is the direction I'm going to go. I'm standing up here tonight. It may not be the direction you're going to go. It's the direction you're going tonight. A year from now, get back with me. Let me know if you're still on the same track. Because it can change. All right? God can convict your heart and tell you He has something else for you to be planned for you. But then it becomes your choice. Are you going to follow the power of God and go His way? Or are you going to keep searching and go your way? And so we have to know God's power. You know, God is able to do miraculous things through people who are yielded to His Spirit. Look over it with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Flip back for me. You guys got those new Bibles, use them tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You girls aren't saying amen quite as fast because you got new Bibles. You don't know where it's at. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, in my speech, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That wasn't his power. Look at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I look back at the life of the Apostle Paul and the things he was able to do. And time and time and time again, Paul said, I'm able to do these things because of Christ. Because of His power, because of the power of God. And God was able to use him and many other great men and women of the Bible because they were yielded completely to Him. And then I've seen so many people fail in life and struggle and can't figure out why things aren't working out because they're searching for so many other things to try to draw their power from, and all they're doing is draining themselves. When you rest in Him and you yield to Him, He can do some miraculous things through you. And we see that in the lives of these men and women of the Bible. You know, Paul was able to face some hard situations in life, and it never caused him once to turn to man's wisdom. And I challenge everyone in here tonight, as hard times do come in your life, and they will. Hard times come, whether it's a loss of a family member, a loss of a job, loss of your health. Hard times come. But do we handle them in the Spirit of God, knowing that His power is with us and sufficient enough to carry us through? Or do we look for other things in life? And teenagers, as you go to college, you're going to be challenged with that. And your life is going to be steered by the choices that you make. Are you going to make the choices that you think you want or the world tells you should want? Or are you going to be steered by the choices that God wants in your life? And then secondly, with God's power, we have to rest in God's power. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Flip over one book there. Second Corinthians 12, verse 9. We see the Apostle Paul explaining a weakness or an infirmity that he has in his body. And he says there in verse 9, and he said unto me, speaking to the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, says Paul, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We have to rest in the power of God, especially in those hard times. We need to see the importance of accepting the power of God, working in our lives because hard times will come, and then God's strength is all that we need to accomplish His will. Because what's going to happen, teenagers, because I've been there, I tried to find my own will. And the more I sought my own will, I would find strength in different things, but that strength never lasted. As soon as I was drawn to it, I felt great. But within a few months or weeks or whatever it was, I was empty and weak again. But when we sit and we seek and we spend time with God and we let Him, let His power fill us, it doesn't go away. It doesn't weaken. A year from now, it doesn't, okay, God, I got to search for something else. No. It's always there. It's sufficient. But we've got to rest in that. And that's God's power that He's already given to us in Christ. And so the three things we got to pack, first being the power. And the second is God's love. We saw there in verse 7 that for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. While you're there in Corinthians, go back to Romans chapter 5. The teens know that we flip a lot on Wednesday nights, so bear with us. Chapter 5, look at verse 5. The Apostle Paul again writes, he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these words have been penned, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is a love that cannot be explained. We see there, I love there in the very beginning of verse, when we saw there in verse 5, he says, and the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by keeping a list of commandments, or by, you know, achieving a financial status. No. The Bible says, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and God gives us that Holy Spirit, along with that Holy Spirit, it says right there in verse 5, He gives us the love of God. And then in verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, what kind of love is that? Many times we have struggles. Teenagers, you're going to find some weird people on campus at college. I promise you that. All right? I won't promise much, but you'll find some weird people on campus. All right, all four colleges I went to, there was some, even the one I was there for 2 days, there was some weird people. But how are you going to treat them? Are you going to treat them with the love of God? Or are you going to treat them as they're different and they're just weird and you're going to... Because look, it said there in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But look at in verse 8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to get right to die for us. He died for us while we were still wicked and ugly and disgusting. And so the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as you guys go out, you've got to remember that love of God. Know God's love in your life for you. Because what that's going to do is help you to reveal it to other people. You know, we have to reveal God's love. And I want to give you three quick things why we have to reveal God's love. And the first one, and this is going to help you in college and the rest of your life and all of us out here, but there's one thing I think college, as you graduate high school, the biggest advantage I think you have, and I didn't know this till I was listening to a guy preach a couple of weeks ago at a youth conference, and there was one thing that stood out that he said that I really liked. It was the fact he was explaining about how many acquaintances and how many friends you have as you go through life. Do you realize you have the most acquaintances, the most contact with people, the greatest number of people when you're in high school, middle school, those years of school? You've got contact with probably some 500 people. Yeah, maybe they're not all your good friends, but you know, I bet if you counted up to maybe 250, 500 people. That's a lot of contacts you have to be able to show the grace of God to. But when you go to college, it dwindles. It goes down. Your life gets busy. Your friends maybe go down to maybe you have 150 people that you know. And even your friends are even smaller. And then as you get married and become adults and have children, Miss Colleen and I have, well, we have a few friends. But we don't have as many. But see, we had the greatest impact when we were teenagers. And unfortunately, we didn't see it and we didn't take advantage of it. You know, that was not God's will. God's will was for us to take that opportunity and reach people. But see, God's love, going back to that, if we reveal God's love, there's three things that are going to happen. And I said all that to say this, it will turn away unbelievers. If you allow the love of God to show forth through you, It's in you. You've got it. If you've trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, we know from what we read there in Romans that we're able to display the love of God through us as we yield to Him. And as we do that, one thing that it's going to do is it's going to turn away the unbelievers or the wicked. Okay? Now bear with me, because I'm going to get to the ones that are going to stick. But you might have some friends right now, as you graduate and you leave, that might not have been the best friends to have in college or high school anyway. And you've kind of maybe you said, you know, I've really been struggling. I know I should have lost a few of these friends, but I didn't know how to cut the cords. Here's your opportunity. As you go off to college, you're able to cut those cords with some of those friends that might have been holding you back. Because now you're going to have an opportunity to make new friends. But with making new friends, you've got the opportunity to make the right friends that are going to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so by showing and revealing God's love, you know what? The people that don't want anything to do with God and they see you as a good, God-loving, you know, not afraid to show the love of God to people, and you just, they run from it. Man, I've seen people in my own life that have called me a religious nut because of the fact I love God so much, and I try to let His love show through me, and I would love them. And man, they say, I don't want nothing to do with you, wacko. But, you know what? I didn't need a relationship with that person because they didn't have a relationship with the one that they needed the relationship the most with. But as you show the love of God, along with the fact that you're going to turn away unbelievers, others are going to turn to Christ because you're showing the love of God. See, the ones that don't want anything to do with Christ and that we just need to really pray for, that God gets a hold of their heart somehow, by some way. You know, we need to pray for those people. We don't need to seek to have a relationship where we hang out and are buddy-buddy with them. You know, we need to continue to show them God's love. But there's going to be some that see God, see the love of Christ through you, and are drawn to Jesus Christ because they see Him living through you. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 real quick, verses 8 and 9. I love this. As you go through and you look at the Thessalonians and kind of how God used Paul to show His love for the Thessalonians through Paul, look at what took place in their life in verse 8 and 9. He says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith of Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Paul's saying, look, we don't have to say anything. You guys are going out and living it and doing it, and people are coming to the Lord because of you. And then in verse 9 he says, "For they themselves," being the life that the Thessalonians are living, "for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So see, the Thessalonians took their life and that love of God and lived it out in their life. They allowed Christ to love through them. And as that happened, other people were able to be affected and drawn to Christ. So as you show the love of God, as you reveal God's love in your life, especially as you go off to a new college or a new place, it's going to turn away the people that you really don't need to have relationships with. They need to see Christ in you, but you don't need relationships with them. And if they think you're weird because you're loving God, don't go chasing them down. Just keep preaching to them with love. And then also it's going to turn others to Christ, those ones that are going to stick. Now you've got a responsibility to help them grow in the Lord, those that receive Him as their Lord and Savior. And then also it's going to attract those people that do already know the Lord, and then you guys can grow together, encourage each other. And then finally, the third one there of revealing God's love is it's going to magnify Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we love the Lord and He's able to reveal His love through us, it magnifies Him. It should. It should magnify Him. If we're not doing it in vain, it magnifies Him. So teenagers, use that. Use God's power to make those, as you get up there, to make those right choices, and then to reveal the God's love that will help you get some of the right friends and glorify Christ. But then finally, the third point, the third thing that you need to have realize, all this stuff is packed, you just have to use it. The third thing is a sound mind. You know, the word sound mind is translated as self-control or discipline. And as a matter of fact, God wants us to demonstrate self-control. Over in Pastor Dan just preached on this a couple weeks ago, but Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and verses 6. Listen to what it says here. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That word sober there is that right thinking, using that sound mind, clear judgment, good thinking. And then also down in verse 6 it says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Again, that clear thinking and using that self-control to make good decisions, because you're letting Christ live through you and lead and guide and direct you, and you're not making those rash, quick judgments and quick decisions that can cause you problems. You know, you may no longer have the influence of good parents to help you make good, right decisions. You're thinking that's a great thing right now. I'm heading off to college. Those of you that are moving out of the house, and you know, those of you that are still in the house, you're still going to be under there. But those of you that are getting out on your own, you think this is going to be great. I'm going to make my own choices, my own decisions. Be careful. Because now if you don't have a good godly mom and dad that's going to help you to make good choices, you're going to have to start making some choices on your own. How are you going to make those choices? The Bible says we have to use a sound mind. Praise God, He's already given it to us. He's given it to us to use. But now we got to call on it and use it. Don't leave it in the luggage, zipped up. Don't try to make, ooh, that looks good, I'm going to take that class. Or, man, you know, that person, they'd make a great roommate. They look like they're going to have a lot of fun. Ooh, they got a TV and a video game station. Oh, I'm going to, try to get in with them. Don't make rash decisions. Use sound judgment. Have a sound mind. God's given it to you. Use it. Because that's going to help you in college. It's going to help you in life every day. We've got to use sound judgment. Have a sound mind in everything that we do. You know, teenagers and adults alike, all of us, if anybody ever puts us in a position where we've got to make a decision right now, what I do in my life, I try to practice in my life. If somebody says, look, I've got to know right now, then I always say, well, then no. Because if I don't have time to pray about it, I don't have time to really use a clear judgment on it and seek what God wants, then it can't be what He wants me to do. He's not going to rush me into anything. He's going to open the doors. He's going to close some doors. But I'm not going to go rushing through some doors. Okay? So if anybody tries to pressure us into making a decision quick, it's best just to sit back and say, look, if you've got to have an answer right now, then it's going to be no. And so we have to use that sound judgment and that right to make those right choices, because we don't have mom and dad anymore. And that sound mind, I love this verse. I want to share it with you. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 2:16. I was just going to read it, but I love the way it goes right along with what we're saying. With that sound mind, along with that sound mind, look what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But look at what he says there. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, teenagers. We're saved and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Say, Brother Rob, I don't know what choice to make. Turn to Christ. You've got His mind. He's going to give you the right decision. You need to yield to it. It might not be what you wanted, but you yield to it. And so, teenagers, we've got to take some time to sit back and let our choices be acceptable unto God as we use a sound mind. You know, Ephesians 5:10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You know, our life needs to demonstrate the love of God that we have and our yieldedness to Him. And that's going to come in the decisions that we make. You guys have a lot of decisions to make coming up. You know, you've already made some as far as what college you're going to. But like I said, that can change. You might be sitting in class one day and really feel burdened. You say, you know what? God, I still feel so empty. Maybe God's calling you to the ministry. You know, I'm not saying the ministry is for everybody. But you know what? I don't know that. As I look back in my life, I see little things where I said, you know what? I think God probably was trying to push me to the ministry a lot earlier than I went. And it wasn't until I surrendered in 2003 and said, okay, God, here I am, use me. You know, we need to make the decision that we're going to yield ourselves to what God has already given us. We're going to use what He's already packed for us. We didn't even have to pack it. We didn't have to do anything to get it packed. He packed it for us. Now it's up to you to open that piece of luggage and use it. And so what I want to challenge us with in closing tonight is, as you start each day of your life, Not just going to college, this applies to all of us. As we start each day of our life, let us remember this verse. I love this verse. And Pastor Dan used it this morning, and it's actually going to be our theme for our summer camp with our teenagers. But Galatians 5:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who hath loved me and gave himself for me. By faith, teenagers, you need to continue to live your life. The things that I just told you that God's given you, the power, the love, and the sound mind, by faith you trust in those. And you live day by day with those, using them. And God's going to bless your life. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, thinking of the things that Christ has given to us, He's provided for us. It only comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just want to be able to say, if anybody in here tonight has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you can do it in the quietness of any moment, at any time, and just confessing to God that you're a sinner and you want His forgiveness and you trust Jesus Christ, His Son, and the penalty that He paid on the cross was payment for your sin. And as you accept and believe in that, then the grace of God is given unto you and your sins can be forgiven. And teenagers, as we go out tonight, and as you move on to the next stage of your life, I want to challenge you to keep these three principles of knowing that God has given you His power, His love, and a sound mind. Heavenly Father, we just come to You now, Lord. God, I thank You so much for Your Word, how rich it is and how strong it is, Lord, and how it's all that we need, God, from You is just a relationship with You, and we can find it in Jesus Christ as we accept Him. And God, we can just have fellowship with You, and You can teach us from Your Word, Lord. And Lord, I thank You for that we're here tonight in recognition of these graduates, Lord. I pray, Lord, a hedge of protection on them, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm going to ask the graduates, if they would, to come up here at this time. Graduates, would you come? And I'm going to have you kneel down here and kind of make a circle. Come on up. We're going to have prayer over you. I'm going to ask Pastor Larry, I don't know, go ahead and just kneel down right here and make a circle. We're going to have special prayer over you right now, okay? That's it. Just come right on in here. Pastor Larry, Brother Rob, I don't know, do we have any other? Pastor Rich, there you are. I think Pastor Tommy and Pastor Todd Adams are next door in Awana. So come on up, and I'd like each of us are going to just take some time now, and we're going to pray for you right now. Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now through the blood of Jesus. And Father, how I thank You, God, for these teenagers, Lord, and what they mean to us. Lord, I've watched them grow up from just little children. Lord, I've watched them mature and grow physically. But Lord God, I thank You for the spiritual growth that we've seen in their life. Father, they've heard a lot of Bible messages, a lot of Bible preaching and teaching. And Lord, they're more accountable than a lot of